Ring TV with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, March 17th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We made it to another Friday, another very eventful week. And I'll tell you, Lisa, it's good to make it to Friday. You know, even though on Monday we're going to be tearing it to bit to get back here.
It's good to make it to tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Now, before we get started, I want to tell you a little bit about our hometown here. We live in State College, Pennsylvania. It's the home of Penn State University. And today is St. Patrick's Day. It's also a Friday. Now, when you put those two together and you have 42,000 college students, it's like a double whammy. It's double dynamite. So all the bars around here opened at 6 o'clock this morning. And already at 2 o'clock in the morning, kids were lining up outside of these bars to be the first ones into it. The one bar is called The First, P-H-Y-R-S-T. They had kids lined up two blocks down the road and then around the corner going down the hill waiting to get inside these bars. And it's just incredible to see this sight. There's police officers out there. They're spilling out onto the street. So there's on this two-lane road in front of the bar, you can only use one lane because there's so many kids out there. They're hollering and screaming. And this is before the bar even opened up. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's an amazing sight.
Yeah, but this community doesn't seem to have a problem with it. It doesn't seem that the liquor establishments around here act very responsibly, encouraging stuff like that.
So. Oh, they love it. They make a ton of money. And Penn State also has the biggest Greek system in the country. That means they have more fraternities and more sororities than any other university. Mm-hmm. So we have St. Patrick's Day and Friday falling simultaneously. It's going to be a hell of a day around here.
I'm staying in the house. We'd also like to thank Professor James Fetzer, who was on our show yesterday, for all of the work that he's doing to expose the lies of 9/11 and bring the truth front and center, along with the rest of the scholars for 9/11 Truth. We thank him for taking the time to be on our show. We know he's really busy.
Mm-hmm.
And also Michael Collins Piper, who does a show on Republic Broadcasting Network called The Piper Report. Michael has been really enthusiastic about pushing the petition, and we appreciate all his efforts in exposing the lies of 9/11 as well.
Right. We're going to have another article about Piper next week on the Wing TV homepage, basically saying this is the best new radio show on the Internet by far. And if you're not tuning in...
We think so.
Yeah, that's the place to be. So let's get to some news here. This was an item that came out yesterday about Miss Hillary Clinton. And it seems to be overlooked in the media. We ran it on the Wing TV homepage. Mm-hmm. But what it's essentially saying is that Hillary and the Democratic National Committee, the DNC, they want to start changing the rules for the primaries leading up to the 2008 elections.
Changing the rules, Hillary?
Come yeah. on. And what they're doing is, the way it's been standing now, historically, is the first two primaries for the Republicans and the Democrats.
Set the tone.
Yeah, is New Hampshire and Iowa. Now, Hillary's folks don't like this. Because they're saying, what if some very left-wing, anti-war candidate comes into New Hampshire and Iowa and cleans her clock? Just basically just trounces her in these primaries. Well, this is going to make her look awful. So what they want to do is change the rules so there are more primaries all lumped together right at the head.
Right.
So somebody can't come in and trounce her. And they want to make sure that they add some southern states to this. Now you think, well, why do they want to add southern states? Well, their reasoning is that they're more conservative.
Right. And remember, Hillary's a war hawk now.
Yeah. Now, this is what amazes me, is that here's Hillary Clinton, through all of her political career, has been ultra, ultra liberal. She's a woman that wants higher taxes, bigger government, universal health care, and on and on and on and on. She likes big government.
Yeah.
She's a Democrat.
But Hillary's also a chameleon.
Yeah.
So Hillary is whatever she needs to be at any given moment in time.
Yeah. So as Lisa said, she's become now more of a war hawk all of a sudden than even George Bush is. And so the Democratic National Committee wants her to be able to appeal to the more conservative Democrats as opposed to the more liberal Democrats. And a large segment of the Democratic Committee is irate with Hillary Clinton, because here she is, the big senator from New York, the state of New York, and yet she's not speaking out at all against the war.
She's not a big senator from the state of New York. She's a carpetbagger who got into the state of New York through very questionable means. And you know what? I'm still waiting to hear from any of you out there who actually want Hillary in the White House again.
We haven't heard it from anyone. What was that, about 2 months ago? We came out here and we said, if anybody plans on voting for Hillary Clinton in 2008, we would love to hear from you just to see what goes through your mind. Right. Because it'd be like saying, if somebody came up to us and said that they can jump from here to the moon, I would like to see what goes through that person's mind, because I can't comprehend it. And it's the same with if somebody said they're going to vote for Hillary. So if any of you are out there...
Yeah, we haven't forgotten about this.
Yeah.
Contact us if you want Hillary to be the president.
Yeah, and explain your rationale, because we would love to figure it out. And also, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, Lisa, about rigging elections.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I think, are under the impression that in a presidential election, there has to be a massive vote fraud all across the country. Well, that's not the case, because the people who run the world historically know how most of the states are going to vote.
Yeah.
You know the red state, blue state thing.
You would too if you had the whole thing set up.
I mean people know that if you go out to Wyoming, mm-hmm. it's more than likely going to vote for a Republican.
What the mindset is. Yeah. The predominant mindset.
Yeah, and if you go up to New Hampshire or Massachusetts, there's a more of a likelihood that you're going to vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
So they can go across the state and say Hillary's going to run against Rudolph Giuliani, okay? Just for an example. And they're saying, well, this many states are going to vote for Giuliani, this many for Hillary, mm-hmm. and it's pretty much a dead heat right now. So there's only going to be a couple states that are the wild cards. In 2000, it was Florida.
Right.
2004, it was Ohio. So right then, they only had to rig one state. And even then, they can tell how most of the counties are going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So the rural counties are going to vote more conservative. The cities or the urban areas will vote more Democrat or liberal. So really, to rig an election for the president of the United States, you only have to rig a couple counties. That's all you have to rig to get the desired result. And we saw that in Florida, and we saw that in Ohio. So with Hillary and the DNC changing the rules already 2.5 years before the election, what direction do you think they're going in? You know?
About how many names they need to get on the ballot compared to, say, a third-party candidate?
Right.
They only need 2,000 signatures on to get their name on the ballot. Meanwhile, how many does a third party? I think it was like 64,000 signatures. A little unbalanced there, I think.
Yeah, we have a local candidate named Tom Martin who's going to run for the Senate, I believe.
For the Libertarian Party.
Yeah, and he was saying that he needs to get 64,000 signatures
to get on the ballot.
But the Republicans and Democrats only have to get 2,000, and they can do that at one of their fundraisers. So again, it's just trying to keep these independent voices away from the ballot box.
It's really equitable, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Now, how about this, Lisa? This clip that Vinny Sammartino sent us last night. It's from a TV show. What was it called? Boston Commons?
Boston Legal.
Yeah, Boston
James
Legal.
Spader.
Yeah. And he had this clip where he was in the courtroom defending his client, and he was speaking about the American public, and he says, you know, when this whole subject of the lies about the weapons mm-hmm. of mass destruction came up, and how we got lied into this god-awful war, he says, I thought the American people would be rioting in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. Then he says, Abu Ghraib came up. And we saw how American troops were torturing these prisoners. And after this, they got busted for doing that. They just outsourced it to other countries to do the torture. And he says, I thought the American people would finally stand up and say they're not going to take it anymore. But did they?
No. And what he was doing, James Spader was portraying an attorney in a courtroom defending, I guess, the defendant who was brought in because she was a protester.
Right, right. Then he went on to say, well, then we found out about this widespread mass of domestic spying. And he says, I thought the American people would be up in arms about it. But they weren't. And then he said, finally, If they do in a protest, they don't even have access to the president or any of these candidates. They have to be cordoned off in these little free speech zones.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I thought for sure then the American people would be up in arms. Were they?
No.
They weren't. And finally he said, I hate it. He says, I'm sick and tired of being called un-American when we speak out against the government. Look at all these things that are inexplicable that are happening.
Right.
And the American public en masse isn't up in arms.
Right.
It's just incredible.
Being critical or questioning the government or being negative about what the government is doing, opposing what the government is doing, doesn't make you un-American.
Yeah.
You don't have to support Bush to love America.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the other night, since we're talking about the war, we were listening to the last few minutes of John Stadtmiller's show before Piper mm-hmm. came on. And he gave one of the best overviews, I think, there was of the Iraqi war, where he's saying, look at this country pre-invasion and post-invasion. He says, before the United States invaded, sure, they were stuck with Saddam Hussein. But he says, look what they have now. The infrastructure of that country is blown to hell. We've seen the footage on TV. What's it look like over there, Lisa?
It's not somewhere I'd want to move.
Exactly. He says, now we have the Sunnis and the Shiites. We have this civil war, and even though they're not calling it a civil war, we have a full-blown civil war up there. We have U.S. presence there, where our soldiers are killing their people all over.
Yeah.
There's over 100,000 dead Iraqis there.
There's more strife, chaos, death, and destruction there than there was before.
Yeah. So if you were an Iraqi citizen, what would you want? To be stuck with Saddam, but have at least somewhat of a normal life, or this mass pandemonium and chaos?
Yeah, I mean, does it even, like, give you an idea of how it is over there when the Iraqi people, there are Iraqi people calling to have Saddam back?
Yeah.
That shows how bad it is.
Yeah. Now, this was a preemptive strike on Iraq. And 2 days ago, George Bush gave another speech where he was calling for what? Or he was saying that he wasn't going to rule out future preemptive strikes against countries that pose a quote-unquote threat to the United States. And Lisa, guess what country now has been determined to be the greatest threat against America? Could it be Iran? It is. Talk to Condoleezza Rice or any of these. And
you know, we could write their script.
It is. That's what it is. Who was the greatest threat before we invaded Iraq? Iraq was.
Uh-huh.
Now, who's the greatest threat before we invade Iran? Iran is.
And Syria and so on,
yeah,
and so on.
And people now, even the conservatives and Republicans, basically don't trust George Bush or his New World Order neocon cabal that's in the White House. We don't trust them. They lie to us. They're getting us into these terrible wars. And yet, what are they going to do? They're going to push ahead again.
Nothing. Right.
They're just
go with the flow.
Yeah, but I mean, Bush is going to push ahead again. And every single person I've spoken to about a potential invasion of Iran said the same thing as me. It's going to be a freaking bloodbath.
Yeah, and they just raised the ceiling on the debt, too.
Yeah, well, that's the next, yeah.
$9 trillion.
Yeah, we're pushing right now a national debt of $9 trillion. And the reason that is because yesterday the Senate raised the debt limit once again. This
mm-hmm.
is the fourth time they've done it. And they're doing it so that we basically don't go default on our debt. We don't go belly up. And
simultaneously, while they're doing that, they're raising the ceiling on the lunacy and madness.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, with this nearly $9 trillion national debt, that means every man, woman, and child living in America today owes the government, or their portion of the
allegedly
debt, yeah, is $30,000. So say you have a husband, a wife, and two kids. They're in for $120,000. That's how much they
are. Jack Cafferty on one of the mainstream networks,
mm-hmm.
I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, said, where are Americans going to come up with this money? Well,
yeah.
I think we should just send the bill to Congress and send the bill to every person in the Bush administration and to all the people that voted for Bush.
Yeah. Well, when Bush came into office, when he was elected in 2000, the national debt was $6 trillion. Right now, we're pushing $9 trillion. So it's gone.
It's just unbelievable.
$6 trillion to $9 trillion in a matter of less than 6 years. 5 years. 5 years, it's gone from $6 trillion to $9 trillion, and it's beyond belief. Jon Snow, who came out in, of course, mm-hmm. favor of this raising of the debt limit, said that it's critical to provide certainty to financial markets that the integrity of the obligations of the United States will not be compromised.
And one of their polls, and we don't put much stock in polls, as we've said before, but one of their polls actually comes out to be like 4 out of 10 Americans still think that the war in Iraq is justified, that we went in there for a noble cause, a good reason.
And that actually dropped from what it was before.
But there's still 4 out of 10 people that think that.
40%. And if we did default on our debt, this would be the first time ever in the history of America that our country would not be able to pay its debts. I mean, what we're essentially doing is just printing more money. But three of the largest debts ever in the history of this country have mm-hmm. occurred during the first 5 years of this Bush neocon New World Order administration.
Now remember, we can't just say there's 3,000 victims, casualties of 9/11, because now there are tens of thousands more because of the victims, the Iraqi civilians that were killed, the Afghani civilians that were killed, the troops that have been killed in both mm-hmm. countries, and the ones that are going to be killed, that are killed on a daily basis.
Yeah, and you know, this administration isn't only opposed in America. A couple of days ago, Condoleezza Rice traveled to Australia. She was giving a speech mm-hmm. there, and she was heckled very prominently during her speech. People were standing up and saying things like, Iraqi blood is on your hands, and your freedom is murder. And what happened is they had to remove these people from the auditorium. Then they roughed them up. I guess it was a bunch of students. Roughed them up outside.
Really?
But Condoleezza never had to see any of them because, naturally, when they brought her in and took her out, they snuck her in through a back door. And it was just like when George Bush was here at Penn State last year, remember? We never saw him.
No.
I mean, even the road from the airport that they brought him in on was completely shut down. It's about a 6 or 7 mile road. Not one car was allowed to be on this road except for Bush's motorcade.
Yeah.
So
that's how you have to act when you're hunted by the truth.
Yeah, exactly. And one last thing, Lisa, I wanted to mention before we go into the weekend. And people have been talking about protesting
mm-hmm.
and how effective protesting is. So I want to bring up a point from last year. It was the 4th anniversary of September 11th, the 9/11 terror attacks. We went to New York City, right?
Yep.
Held a 14-foot banner there. Had an article written about us by the Village Voice that was a huge article.
Let me cut you off there because I just read something today, a thread that must have been written a while back, where one person was saying that if they would have been there while we were there, they would have found it immeasurably difficult to not pile drive my skull into the pavement.
Wow, there. See, that's unity. There's unity. But
these people don't believe that, you know, they are pro the government version of events.
Yeah. But getting back to this, we also were covered by quite a number of foreign presses that wrote articles
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And there were thousands and thousands of people that passed us that day, saw the banner, came up and got the videotapes, the flyers, the books, and so forth.
We handed out every DVD that William Rodriguez, Last Man Out of the Towers, brought to us. He brought us a whole big box, and they were all cleaned out.
Yeah, and William Rodriguez was there and so forth. So we got not only exposure from the public, but also the Village Voice, foreign coverage. Now, the people that stayed home and complain about protesting,
never get out there on the street.
Well, how effective were they? What did they do last September 11th to make a change in the world?
Or to push this truth out into front and center where it needs to be.
Yeah. So they're saying, well, protesting isn't effective. It doesn't do anything. So let's see. This year, it's going to be the 5th anniversary of 9/11, okay? The people that do nothing but sit in these little chat rooms and post their messages, it'll be the 5th anniversary, and they're going to sit home and do the same thing they've done every day for the last 5 years is bitch and snip and gripe and complain.
Right. As one person on the internet has put it, protesting, he called it street theater. Well, I'll take street theater any day
That's a compliment.
Over virtual theater.
Well, virtual nothingness.
Yeah.
Because...
at least you're out there on the street where the real people are.
Right.
Looking them in the eye.
And how effective is it, as I said, to sit in a little chat room where there's going to be 20 people and bitch and piss and moan like you've done every day for 5 years? How effective is that compared to going to Ground Zero, holding up banners, passing out flyers, talking to people, getting articles written about you? Which one is more effective?
Well, the bottom line is we've spent... it'll be going on 5 years now, talking to one another about this stuff. It's time now we stop talking to one another so much about it and start talking to the people who don't know about it.
Right.
The people out there at Ground Zero.
Right. There's people from all over the world that come to New York City. And when we held that banner up last year, Lisa, it seemed like the flash bulbs never stopped, did it?
No.
There were just hundreds and hundreds.
You think you were at some kind of rock concert or something like that. It was just constant cameras clicking.
And we had stacks of flyers like this. As Lisa said, cases of videos, DVDs that we were handing out to people. I don't know. Is it going to change the world by being at Ground Zero? Probably not. But when you compare the amount of effectiveness between going out there, being seen, talking to the victims' families and so forth, or sitting in a little chat room, bitching, pissing, moaning, and griping, which one's more effective? And folks, you have to pay attention now to the people that are doing the bitching and pissing and moaning. When they say, well, who the hell needs protesting? It doesn't do anything. What you have to ask them is, point blank, what the hell are you doing?
Well, it's just an excuse to not do anything.
That's right.
To keep not doing anything. And,
and you know what? We don't have time for them anymore. As we've been saying now for the last week or so on this show, we're not going to deal with the people that are into negativity and all of this crap. We have a goal. We have our sights set on something. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep the positive high road.
Right.
We want people to come together. That doesn't mean all of us have to hug and kiss and sing kumbaya. There's people that we want to come together to help us get the word out that we don't necessarily have to like. That doesn't mean we can't work together.
And there's a lot of people that don't like us.
Yeah.
Here. But you know what? We don't have to like one another. All we have to do is believe in the truth. And what we're saying is right.
Right.
And if you really believe in what you're doing, then do the right thing.
Right.
The right thing shouldn't be any kind of dilemma for you. You should know what the right thing is.
Yeah.
And if you genuinely want the truth to get out, then you really don't have a choice. You need to do something if you have a conscience.
Right. Do you think every single person in the White House likes each other? Do you think everybody at Fox News likes each other?
No.
Do you think everybody at CNN likes each other? Of course not. But what they do is they see that they have to spread their propaganda. So they have to work together. What we're trying to do is get the truth out to counter their propaganda by telling everyone we don't have to like each other, but we can work together. We can come together for a common cause.
Not everybody might like the idea or feel comfortable with the idea of getting out on the street at a rally or a protest. But those of us who do get out there, those of us who are known protesters, and it isn't just me and Victor, our silence, we'll never be accused that we're silent and we're consenting.
Right.
Yeah. No one will ever be able to accuse us of that, ever.
And as Lisa was showing in her photo galleries recently, she has a motto up there. We are not afraid. And what better can describe it? If we're going to fight this new world order, do you think we're going to win by being afraid? Hell no.
There's no room for fear. That's what they want. They want fear.
Yeah.
Don't give it to them.
That's
Don't
right.
Give it to
we're
them.
Not afraid. Check our article out on the Wing TV homepage. And what do you got there? A couple
Just
stickers?
Just wanted to remind you about the bumper stickers. 9/11, the big lie. Proven through laws of physics. The warning, 9/11 equals controlled demolition. Danger, 9/11 was an inside job. We still have these bumper stickers. We have activist kits that are for a nominal cost.
Well,
get in touch with me, and I'll get in touch with the people who have the activist kits and hook you up.
Yeah, this isn't our... And as soon as they
right.
get their website up, we're going to link directly
right.
to them. So this isn't something that we're doing ourselves. But when they get their site up, we're going to link to it. So, folks, anyway, we're glad it's Friday. Have a good weekend out there. Try to think of what we said about standing up and think about the people that are trying to now cause the commotion to say, oh, well, nothing's going to work. We might as well just quit and give up now. If that's what you want, That's what you're going to get, but we're not going to put up with that.
And one more thing. I checked the scholarsfor911truth.org petition before the show. 5,085, I think it was. So
round of applause for everybody.
We are over the halfway mark, so let's just keep that going. And thank you to all of you who've sent it around and signed it, and let's just do the ripple effect. Widen the circle.
Until Monday, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
Have a good weekend, everyone.